0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for another busy midweek across Scottish football, from takeover talk to Istanbul for Rangers as they get set for the challenge of Fenerbahce. Neil Lennon says the gap between the two sides in Glasgow is absolutely huge at the moment, and it is Tuesday night, still picking up the pieces from the weekend and looking forward to whatever lies ahead. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Ross McCormick and Gordon DL.
Yeah, an exciting weekend of football. Few surprises. I think everyone going along to Ibrox, Gordon, was expecting Barry Ferguson just to keep everything going after Wednesday night's terrific comeback second half against Kilmarnock. But mother, will you've got to say, I listened to Andy Halliday last night. I agree with everything he said, the skipper. He was brilliant, and mother, will were terrific. Tactically, everything about them, I think they deserved their win. Then you look at Celtic, big talking points, but once again, they know how to get the job done. Difficult game at St Mirren, penalty kick. We can talk about that. But I've got to say, Hibs, absolutely brilliant. And I'll tell you, their fans must have enjoyed the minute that final whistle went, because sunshine relief takes a lot of beating.
Good weekend, Ross. Now European football to come as well.
Yeah, massive one for Rangers. What a chance to bounce back. Another disappointing result at the weekend. Great result for the Well. I thought they were fantastic. But I can only echo what Gordon's saying there. The big winner for me this weekend's Hibs. I think everything went right for them. I thought they were absolutely... first half, I didn't think they were... I thought they were quite slow, to be fair, but I think after that, they were first class. And then, obviously, the result... result between Aberdeen and Dundee United helps them as well, so I think they're the big winner.
Tuesday night's always right in the middle. We look back on the weekend. If you feel like we've not quite done that enough, if you think there's leftover talking points from the weekend, let's pick them up. But also, of course, we look forward. It's been nice to have European football most midweeks, so we can do a bit of both, as the saying goes. 0141 951 1025, give us a call. Like we mentioned, if there is anything left over from the weekend, whether it's the performance at Ibrox, the talking points from Paisley, the Edinburgh Derby, whatever it may be, give us a call. The news yesterday broke Rangers fans that the deal had been agreed in principle with 49ers Enterprises for a takeover of the club. I feel like last night we were so heavily focused on the game at the weekend and the performance and all that sort of stuff and criticism of the players that we didn't really talk about it. So maybe tonight would be a good chance. How much are you just desperate for this to move forward and happen? What did you make of that news yesterday that a deal has been agreed in principle? How important is it that this goes through and something happens to try and lift your spirits? If we want to look more specifically at Europe, how's about giving us an insight into how you're feeling ahead of Fenerbahce? Because for a long, long time, there's been this notion that whatever's happening domestically, you can defy that when Thursday night comes around. Time and time again, manager after manager, it doesn't really matter. It feels like whatever's happening domestically, you can always rise above it on a Thursday night. I wonder if you still think that's the case. Does that still exist? Or have some of the last few results really sort of damaged your belief in even that sort of mystique? Whatever it used to be on a Thursday night, is it still there? Do you think it can still be there? Or are you now, for the first time in a while, actually worried about European football because of the way the results have been? So give us an insight into how you're feeling ahead of Thursday on 0141 951 1025. Is there anything left over from Paisley you want to discuss? We had some Mirren fans on last night, unhappy with the non-award of that penalty. Celtic fans, 19 points potentially if you can beat Rangers in the next league outing. How are you feeling about it all? Do give us a call, and anything else whatsoever. We'll give away tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival a bit later on as well. We're actually going to be joined by a real comedian in the show.
What, am I coming out and come back and dressed up as somebody?
As you can tell by that there, it's not him.
He laughed. You can come out in my show.
He's polite. He's your pal. 0141 951 1025. So do give us a call. It feels like just constantly, Gordon, there's just always something happening. We're off the back of a busy weekend. There's this European competition around the corner, and Rangers very much involved with these takeover talks.
I think after the weekend, I think the Rangers fans needed some positive news, Gordon. and I think they certainly got that yesterday. It'd be a welcome addition for me that new owners come in, new ideas, a freshness, everything about it, investment, most importantly as well. That's where Rangers are just now. They're at a standstill. Yes, the Europa League's looking after itself. You've asked questions there about people phoning in. How do you feel about Thursday night? I sit here on Tuesday and I really can't answer that because I don't know. You never know with Rangers.
Do you think it still exists, this notion that Thursday can just take care of itself?
Well, every time we say no, they prove us wrong. And that's the one good thing if you're a Rangers fan you look to. You think to yourself, look at what's happening in the league, look at the way we're playing, look at the results, look where the club is now. All of a sudden, it's all doom and gloom. But then the Europa League comes around and something magical happens for them. So I don't really know. It will be difficult, but I honestly can't answer it. I think that the most important thing for Rangers fans is they've got to get this season over with. They've got a difficult couple of games coming up, let's face it, home and away in the Europa League, then obviously Celtic Park. They got to get to the end of the season and they've just got to hope that new investment comes in to take them forward. But in the other half, everything's brilliant for Celtic just now. As you said, if they go and beat Rangers on their own patch, 19 points clear on the 16th of March and going for another treble, great position. And we keep going back to it. Hibs were bottom of the league not that long ago, sitting proudly in third. Well done, David Gray.
The reason I ask, Ross, because Gordon's right, this has been going on for years that Rangers save some of their best stuff for Europe. So I'm trying to understand if fans still feel like that's possible, because this would be one of the all-time turnarounds. If your home fixtures go defeat Queen's Park, defeat St Mirren, defeat Motherwell, beat Fenerbahce, like, that would be incredible to cap off the sequence in that way.
Oh, it would be unbelievable. But the thing is, with them defeats that you've mentioned, Rangers are favourites in all them games. Me personally, I don't think they've got the how do I say it? I wouldn't say that, not so much character, but when Rangers are expected to go and win games, that's when they struggle. So that's probably why when they go into European competitions, maybe they look at it as a little bit of a free hit. We're not favourites, we're not expected to do anything. And it brings out a different side in them. I think the big thing for this as well is second legs at Ibrox. Because if you look over how the last couple of good runs that they've had in the Europa League, you've got that second Thursday night at Ibrox and anything can happen there. Them, regardless whether you think Fenerbahce are a better team than Rangers or whatever, Leipzig were a better team than Rangers, all these teams that they've took on at Ibrox have been better teams, it doesn't matter. That Thursday night second leg at Ibrox is always special.
Craig is the first fan through this evening. Craig, how do you feel then sitting in between all those domestic disappointments and about to head back into Europe where you've done so well?
Yeah, I think Ross was basically spot on there. It's when the expectation is not on Rangers, that's when they perform. And I can't get my head around that mentality, because when you sign for Rangers, the kind of like prerequisite is you have to win every game. You know, that's what you're told, and that's what James Taverney always says. Oh, I tell all my teammates you need to win every game. So I don't understand it. To be perfectly honest with you guys, I think this is probably, just because of who the opposition manager is, this is probably the one that I think Rangers won't get past, because Jose Mourinho, I know it's probably a 1990s thing to say, but he would have had that Philip Clement thing plastered on the changing room wall about the comments that he made about him, you know, to fire his team up. And listen, I mean, on the flip side of that, it wouldn't surprise me if this Rangers team did sneak past Fenerbahce, but I just think it's a different mindset. And I think after Barry's comments at the weekend saying they're not doing what I tell them to do, that is a big red flag for me. And I don't know, one of the last times I spoke to Gordon, I said, I don't know who some of these players actually think they are, because the majority, some of them are young boys, like Jeff Day and Igeman, etc., but some of them are strutting about that pitch at Ibrox like they've won the things that Celtic have won, if that makes sense. They're going about playing like, oh, we just need to turn up and beat this team. It's like a, I don't know, and as I say, Barry Ferguson, Neil McCann, Billy Dodds, Alan McGregor would have been getting into these guys before the game. What you done on Thursday at Kilmarnock, start 100 miles an hour, and it was so flat, it was unreal. I've got a second point. I actually want to ask you a Gordon question, if I can put my teeth back in. It's basically about, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this question or not, but something I've always been fascinated. Mm. Sorry?
That sounds ominous, on you go.
I don't know if you will actually know the answer to this or if you can say anything about it, but I know you're a big Motherwell fan. Would you be able to disclose who was most, or if you do know, who was most highly rated out of Bailey Rice and Lennon Miller? Because I know they're a kind of similar age, and I would love to see Bailey Rice get a run in the Rangers team.
I know they were, listen, I think that would be personal preference. I know they were considered sort of similar, if you like, and they were in the same team and they were the same age and they've come through Scotland teams together. I know where Craig's going with this. If one has now got 60 games under his belt, you try to say the other one can't come in and play some games.
Different career paths, because Lennon Miller will probably get more an opportunity at Motherwell, a club like Motherwell who like to, you know, get their youth through and get people in. And Lennon Miller obviously shows up in training and they believe that he's good enough at a young age. Bailey Rice is different because Rangers and clubs like Rangers, Celtic, they buy top players, pay a lot of money, a lot of wages, and you sort of adrift down the pecking order. And
also, that was a few years ago now. You know, the trajectory they've gone on is different for that reason.
I'll answer that one, and I'll be quite honest about it. See, when Rangers come calling as a young kid, you go. So the fact that they wanted Bailey Rice and not Lennon Miller tells me everything.
Having said that, I don't think Lennon Miller's been short of offers.
No, now yes, Lennon Miller. Like, recently, yes. But back then, Rangers could have had the choice of either of the two.
I think that, what you said there, Roscoe, I think that was probably years and years ago when Rangers and Celtic came calling. I think that people now look at their career going forward. Right, and rightly so, because you look and you think, right, what am I going to do here? Am I going to be Bailey Rice? Say the two of them are good, they're good players, but they're the same level. Am I going to sit at Rangers and hope for an opportunity? How many games the boy's played? He's come on now and again. Lennon Miller's captained Motherwell and played all those games in the Premier League. So Lennon Miller's decision, whether it was his or Rangers, has been the right career path for him. Now Lennon Miller for me could go to Rangers and walk into the first team.
Yes.
Right, no doubt about it. But it's a difficult one, because we wouldn't know where Bailey Rice would be with 60-70 games under
and
his belt.
Is this all because Craig, you think that's what the end of this season needs to look like? You look at the game at the weekend and so on, are you kind of done with some of these players? Do you think this really should be a time to just look forward and try and look after the future?
Yeah, absolutely. That's my main point is, you know, Barry Ferguson, I'm sure the Dazzler remembers, Barry Ferguson was on the verge of leaving Rangers, you know, when they failed to win 10 in a row. Dick Advocaat watched videos of the B team and like, who's this guy? You know, because he was dominating all the B team games, and like, give him a 5-year contract and I'm going to sign Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, but I'm going to build my team around Barry Ferguson. So what I would like Barry to do for the next, listen, I'm nobody to tell Barry what to do, but what I would like him to do domestically is play 4-3-3 and give Bailey Rice a chance, because who knows, Bailey Rice could become, I'm not saying he could reach the levels Barry Ferguson did, you know, reaching European finals and trebles and stuff like that, but my main question was, and I agree with kind of Ross McCormack, they probably looked at it and maybe Lennon Miller wasn't playing for the Motherwell youth team, I don't know, but I would like to see Bailey Rice, Finlay Curtis, I was going to say Andy Webster's son, but I think he's left Rangers now on loan, because I know he was a B team captain for a while, but I think there's no point playing, last time I was on I was saying there's no point giving Tom Lawrence, all due respect to Dessers, you know what you're going to get. I would rather have, you know, Iggeman playing as a number 9 and Finlay Curtis out wide and whoever else, Bailey Rice in the middle of a, you know, midfield 3, because there's not, apart from the two Celtic games, there's nothing to play for.
Craig, what I can't grasp there, right, is I don't know if you're just going Iggeman because of the age. Dessers scores your goals. Without Dessers' goals. And do you know another thing, right? These young boys have been pitching about Rangers for a few years now, right? There have been a few managers in. So None of the managers have thrown them right in like what happened to Lennon Miller at Motherwell. In you go, you're playing, you'll be playing week in, week out, make sure you stay in the team. There's managers come in after manager, and now Barry Ferguson, one of the best midfield players ever in Scotland, in my opinion. Yeah. I remember the time that Rangers came, it was Walter Smith phoned me for a friendly, and I was standing with David Murray, and Murray says to me, have a look at this young boy, we've got number six here. And it was Barry Ferguson. He was outstanding, went on to be a great player and great leader for Rangers. So if anybody sees a potential in that area, I'll be Barry Ferguson. But Barry Ferguson will not throw in young players just because of, well, we've nothing to play for. At Rangers, you've got to earn your right to play.
Bring it up to speed on the kind of the here and now and the chances Rangers have. What, I mean, how bad was it at the weekend, and can it improve in time for Thursday?
Yeah, for it's got to improve for Thursday.
I mean, I know,
yeah.
Obviously. But,
but once again, we'll get back to that nobody can answer. Why is Rangers domestically at times dreadful? No partner play, no effort, no commitment to it. And then on a Thursday night, the switch goes on. We've tried to find answers.
Does this feel different though? Because if we take this season, because we said this has happened to a number of managers, but if we take this season, the problems were there, but they were quite consistent. It was just away from home. They had no problem at Ibrox. They go away from home, struggle to break teams down, and that's why they fell so far behind. Then they were able to pick themselves up and go into it. But they're now losing multiple games in a row at home to lower league opposition, to St Mirren, to Motherwell. So do you think it still exists, this notion that a Thursday night switch can be flicked?
I don't know if it's ever existed. I don't think the players will be thinking, oh, we can just turn it on and turn it off. But that's essentially what has happened. But with Rangers, it's a bit of a strange one, isn't it? I've still got no idea how they can't go and beat some of the teams that have, no disrespect, but how they can't beat some of the teams that have lost to this season and then go and produce performances away from home in Europe and stuff. I can't get my head around it. The only thing I can think of is that they can't really handle the pressure that well, to be honest. Any time they're expected to win,
I think that's a big thing that's aimed at them now, and it showed at the weekend, Gordon. Everyone was there. Mm-hmm. Now, if Clement was still in charge of that team, there'd have been about 20,000 at the game. Barry Ferguson's there. Great second half against Kilmarnock. Everybody turns
but is
out.
It all, but is
they,
it all
they
about,
could handle it.
And I'm not saying it's not a part of it. I'm sure, of course, it is. But is it all about like attitude, mentality, belief? Or actually, were there major footballing flaws there on Saturday? Because it's not all about, you know, kind of how hard you try and how much you believe. They kind of got outplayed by Motherwell at times.
I was going to say that. I think what we're taking away is the fact that how good Motherwell were. I was, and I listened to Andy last night, and even Andy as a player was talking about the manager saying, right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to press from the front. We're going to play out from the back. There's not many managers, whether you're Motherwell or whatever, that go to Ibrox and adopt those tactics, apart from, like says Brendan Rodgers himself, that goes on the front foot head-to-head against Rangers. But it was brave in Motherwell, so we're taking away a lot from Motherwell. But from a Rangers point of view, I think that because of what's happened to Rangers with the loss of their manager, everything about it, they're losing goals for... Look, the last two games, they've lost two goals before they're even in the game. You can't do that. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. You're not going to win games in that situation. And if they do that on Thursday night, let me tell you, they're not going to go back into the game like they did against Kilmarnock.
Let's thank one Craig and bring in another. How are you, Craig number two?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad, Craig. How would you sum up where Rangers are and what they need to do, and if things can be turned around in Europe like they often are?
Yeah, well, I think throwing all the young boys just in at the deep end is not the right idea. I think they should get more chances. I believe that. But I don't think just throwing them all in at the same time is the right idea. I think they still need the experience around them to develop.
Do you think, you're on that kind of theme we've been going, do you still hold out hope, Craig, that Europe can be okay? You know, like we've seen a million times where Rangers just turn up in Europe. Is that still there for you?
I'm not sure. As much as I've got a huge amount of respect for Barry Ferguson, I still think sacking Clement was the wrong idea, personally. I think he was the best person to take us to the end of the season. because the league was going anyway. I know we keep losing against teams we shouldn't be losing against, but Barry Ferguson done it again the other night. He had one good result and then bad result. So,
yeah, that's an interesting one, Gordon, purely because I think it's safe to say Craig's in the minority, thinking that Philippe Clement should have stayed. However, the one thing he didn't do wrong, he didn't get wrong ever, was he didn't. There was nothing wrong with Europe. Yeah. So this is the first time Rangers go back into Europe since he's departed.
The astonishing thing is as well that Patrick Stewart came out and says, look, we don't want to upset the European campaign. That's why we've kept the manager after that disastrous result against Queen's Park. And then days later, gets beat with St Mirren, he's gone. I take on board what Craig's saying, but unfortunately, if Rangers had stuck with Clement, Rangers would have 25,000 at Ibrox. The fans wouldn't have accepted that. They come back in their numbers at the weekend because Barry Ferguson and what had happened at Rugby Park, the second half, it was a togetherness. You've seen it after the final whistle. Barry's out there, with the supporters, rightly so, they're celebrating. But then it's a damp squib again on Saturday night. You'd see it at the end of the game. The fans have just left the stadium. The ones that have stayed there are giving the Rangers players what for, and rightly so. But Clement in charge, I could see the sense in it, but there'd be nobody at the games. And the revenue they would lose would be unbelievable. I didn't think they were going to go down the path of let's bring in four Rangers men. I didn't think they were going to go down that path. I don't know what was needed in that. But just now it's certainly... Look, it's still to the end of the season. Craig, I keep going back to the takeover.
Craig, you think you still need to stick with this kind of core group of players? What can be done then? What needs to be done to them to turn them into something that can succeed in Europe, having been so poor at the weekend?
Well, I think the fact... I mean, like, you've got guys like Anas Hadji getting asked to take a wage drop. And he said, well, he's not going to sign a contract, so why would you... As much as I appreciate Hadji as a player, I don't know why you say, right, he's not getting a contract, but you still keep playing him. You need, that's where I would say Finlay Curtis should come in.
Possibly.
I think these fans calling in, asking for the young boys and stuff to start, I think they just got to get that out of their head. That ain't going to happen.
No, I'm not saying start every game. I'm just saying that they need to get bloodied into the team.
Yeah, because to be fair, Craig was sort of disagreeing with the previous Craig generally.
Minutes here and there, yes, I totally agree with that.
Well, it's going to be an interesting week. Thank you to the two Craigs. A good time to call. If you give us a shout right now, we will get you on next.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Amy McDonald thinks I'm nuts. Yeah. Like you, if you need to go, you need to go. You don't go into somebody's car.
No.
I don't think Barry was ever getting a job, even if he won every game between now and the end of the season. We've got Dundee United and Celtic.
And then away to Motherwell.
That's why I make Motherwell favourites to finish in the top six, because they've got momentum. The point difference between Hibs and Rangers will be smaller than Rangers and Celtic. I opened up a washing machine shopping Airdrie.
See? Yes.
Check it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel, or get it where you get your podcasts now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Oh, I've never been so delighted for the break to finish. Gordon DL and Ross McCormick, we're talking Botox and other medical procedures that you can get done, apparently. So I'm delighted to be back and to be talking football on 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB as we, well, do whatever you want, really. Look back on the weekend's action, or look forward to Rangers heading to take on Fenerbahce on Thursday. Let's do that now. Regular listeners will know that Gordon DL, as much as he tries, he's not a Turkish football expert, right? He's just not. So we thought we would get someone on to give you the inside track on Fenerbahce and what Rangers will face. So let's speak to Amit, who's on the line. How are you?
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you inviting me to your program. I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We are all good. It's a pleasure to have you. Fenerbahce on a very long unbeaten run stretching back to December. I take it they will welcome Rangers in really good form.
I think so, because as you know, in the Turkish Super League this week, past weekend, well, the number one team in Turkey, Galatasaray, losing 2 points, and Fenerbahce winning with the big score 3-0. The gap on top in the Turkish Super League is 3 points. As you said, since December, and Fenerbahce is winning, and they're closing the gap. One time the gap was 9 points, and they're En-Nesyri, Yusuf En-Nesyri is scoring the goals for Fenerbahce in the recent days.
Is he the main threat to Rangers then? Because there, you know, a lot of familiar names to British football fans. You go through Fred and Dzeko and Tadic, Alisson Maxim, who's, you know, Tosin's there as well, Amrabat, lots of familiar names. But is he the main man to watch out for?
Right, all those big names, but you got to remember the special one is with Fenerbahce also. So with Jose Mourinho, he loves the European competitions, and he is very much different when Fenerbahce, he's with Fenerbahce in the European competition. So Fred will be not playing against Rangers because he's suspended. Also, Osias Samuel will be suspended, but you have players like Tadic, Dzeko, and En-Nesyri, Kostic, and their new transfer on defense, Skriniar, is probably the best guy on the defense right now. And if you ask me, I don't know what Mourinho is going to come up with the defense, whether it's 3 or 4 man defense. And I think if he plays with 3 men, I think young physical Rangers team will have a chance to score on Fenerbahce.
So yeah, elaborate on the style then. What sort of style will Jose Mourinho, or what sort of style does he tend to play?
I think in the last match we saw he played with 3-man defense, but he sometimes plays different formula in the European competitions. I think, as you know, Fenerbahce is the only team left in the European competition, especially in the Europa League, after Galatasaray said goodbye last weekend. So if this is going to be something for a high-price tag coach who came to Fenerbahce in the beginning of season, and price tag is 12 million euro. And I think Ali Koç paid a lot of money for this coach. And I think with they have a high hope getting the Europa League trophy, but that's down the road. I think they have to surpass Rangers at home with a 12th man on Thursday. I think the 12th man will be a huge difference for Fenerbahce.
Yeah. It's famous, I suppose, for the hostile atmosphere. Is that still the case? Is it the way that we over here perceive it to be? Is it going to be a difficult atmosphere for Rangers to play in?
Right. Definitely. It will be a full house, and you will also have 2,500 Rangers fans right now. I think they're traveling to Istanbul. They will be bused from Taksim Circle to other side of water. They'll cross the Bosphorus Bridge, go to Fenerbahce Rusu Saracoğlu Stadium, and it should be a good match for both of the fans.
Talk to us more about the manager then, one of the most famous and well known in world football. I take it the locals are impressed with the job he's doing. Is he still as box office as ever?
Well, whenever you have of a coach like Mourinho, he's always attention from world media. That's what happened sometimes in a good matter, sometimes in a bad matter. As you know, in the derby match against Galatasaray, some of the things he said after the match that brought a lot of controversial, as you know, between Galatasaray and Fenerbahce fans and clubs. There's a very bad blood between each other that keeps going, especially the now the gap is only 4 points on top, and Galatasaray is nervous, and Fenerbahce will not play this weekend. After playing Thursday match, they have a bye weekend, so Fenerbahce doesn't play until March 16th. So they will recuperate, get ready for a second leg match of Rangers. So I think they're pretty much in a right track, and not having a match this coming weekend.
Rangers have had a difficult period domestically, but they've been very good in the Europa League this season and finished top 8. How are they perceived are they perceived as a team that could be dangerous and could hurt Fenerbahce, or are the local side expected to be big favourites?
If you talk to a lot of people in Turkey, they say that Fenerbahce should have no problem. But watching, I myself watching Rangers match, even though they're in the domestic league, the Rangers team is not doing too good lately, and not having a real coach on the sideline with a caretaker coach on the sideline. As a matter of fact, that coach that you have right now for Rangers played in Istanbul against Fenerbahce in 2001. That's... And I think that would probably be huge difference in a coach playing against a coach like Mourinho. But, you know, coaches don't play the football match. The players do on the pitch. So I think Rangers has a very physical running young team. And I believe with especially guys like Dzeko and Nesri and Tadic, who's getting old and on top, If I don't know how Mourinho is going to use this team, but I think looking at last weekend's match in the Turkish Super League, we might see a new transfer, Talisca, coming into the match, even with Ifan Jankovic, who's very fast player on the side. So Fenerbahce has to use both sides to give balls to En-Nesyri. As you know, En-Nesyri scores the most of goals with his head.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. That's a good preview. We now know a lot more about Fenerbahce than we did before. Thank you to Amit Bob Turgut for giving us his insight there. See, you couldn't have done that. But you do love Mourinho, don't you?
I love him. Absolutely. He's a picture in my wall.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I look a wee bit like him.
I mean,
Gert
Müller.
Oh, the name.
Yeah. Do you not think so?
You think you look like Jose Mourinho?
Yeah. A wee bit. A lot of people have complimented me on that.
Said no one ever. let's quickly bring in Gary as well, who's a Rangers fan. Gary, I don't know how much you heard or what you know, but how are you feeling generally ahead of this week with everything that's gone on?
Evening, guys. How are we doing? All right?
Good, thanks. Good.
It was just a wee quick point. I thought that the board actually missed a trick there. I know Clement's gone and stuff like that, but when they brought in his number two, giving him a 3.5 year contract, and what's happened, and Rangers obviously have to pay all his wages for the time. I thought they should have brought Barry Ferguson in then as Philippe Clement's number two, just while we're still in Europe, because it seems to be, you know, we're getting beat domestically, and it, well, then goes into the Europa League. Clement seemed to turn it round, so I thought Barry Ferguson should have come in then. And if we did get out of Europe, Clement would have went and then had Barry Ferguson run it to the end of the season. I just wanted to hear your point.
I see what Gary means, because, you know, the assistant was brought in. Yeah. And this is where Rangers probably, they are trying to sort out their structure, because is that a Nils Koppen appointment rather than a Philippe Clement appointment? It kind of looks like it, because he's not really Clement's guy, because he's still there when Clement's gone. So if a new manager comes in, does that assistant stay? Because he was a club appointment. So Rangers are now trying to get, you know, a sporting director before they get a new manager, because that's what this sort of stuff's all about, that continuity.
It was a strange one, especially on a 3-year deal. You're right, I don't think he was a manager's choice, because if you're under pressure and you see the club bringing in an assistant manager on a 3-year deal, it's alarm bells for me right away. I don't believe in.
But then he's not the one that's been put in charge now either.
Well, the reason being, Barry get put in charge because let's not be kidded here. It's a crowd pleaser. The board had to do something. They were under severe pressure. The fans were turned against them. So what do they do? On you go, Barry. Stand the touchline. It's a crowd pleaser. I don't buy into why Barry Ferguson, when Clement needed a number two, should have been put in as a number two. I don't get that at all, because I think some people get away from this. Look, I don't know what Barry and the boys are going to do from now to the end of the season. I don't know if they're going to continue in the job. It'll be difficult for them if a new owner comes in. They're all very well clued up in the game. They're very good coaches. They talk well, everything about them. And I wish them all the best. But Barry Ferguson, I don't see the reason why, if Clement was still staying there at that time, they needed a number two. Why would you bring in Barry Ferguson? Unless you know that you're going to sack Clement.
Well, I think that's what you were getting at, Gary, wasn't it? Gary.
Yeah,
so you thought that that would have then paved the way, that if Clement did have to go, then at that point Barry Ferguson takes over. But as Gordon's asking, how do you know you're going to sack Philippe Clement at that point?
But it just gives Barry Ferguson a wee bit of knowledge way going into the Europa League game. He would have a wee bit more understanding how, I know he's played it and stuff like that, but a wee bit more understanding in the background of it. Plus it would have helped him. It would help Philippe Clement in the domestic league. We bring in a Rangers number two to get the crowd in and maybe see what happened. Just give him a run to the end of the season, you know.
But you're bringing in Rangers number two because Rangers man, right? That's what Gary's getting at. Alec Ray's on his coaching staff. Alec Ray's one of the biggest Rangers guys I've ever known. Loves the club. Diehard of Rangers Football Club. So. And then, if you bring in Barry as a number two and you're Clement and you're still there as a manager, it's strong managers don't... You know what I mean? You're going to... The alarm bells right away, you're looking at...
Yeah, you said the alarm bells. I can imagine Fergie walking through the door to be the number two.
Yeah, by the way, I'm here to be number two. Exactly. I'm going to learn off you for Europe because you're going out the door in the next couple of weeks. That's fairy tale stuff.
Very quickly, Gary, can Rangers keep doing what they've done and defy their domestic form in Europe, or are you worried that that's worn off with some of the recent disappointments?
Well, hopefully on Thursday night, I mean, just keep it tight. I think the, a big thing is that we're playing over there first, and try and keep it tight as to bring it back to Ibrox, and hopefully then it'll be a good match. Yeah. Hopefully it's not just going back to Ibrox and we're already, you know, 3-0 down or whatever, you know.
Good man, thank you, Gary. Let's move on, and before we go any further, get your calls in, but I want to tell you about this.
Oh my God.
Cash Dash. Win a massive £425,000.
We're honestly giving away some amount of cash on this radio station. Life-changing £425,000. Text yes to 61025. Do that, you'll get three entries for the price of one text. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £250 or you call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm Friday, so text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick are here. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in right now. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB if you want to have your say. So do that before the news. We'll play Beat the Pundit. There's lots still to happen between now and 8 o'clock, so do get in touch if you can. I think we can go back to the phones in the meantime on that same number, because Barry is there. How are you, Barry?
How are you doing, Gordon? Thanks for the call. And pleasure. Gordon and Ross.
Hi, Barry.
How are you, Barry?
I'm all right. It's in relation to Lennon Miller. At the moment, I think Celtic's middle of the park is loaded, and we've got Paolo Bernardo and Luke McCown at times coming off the bench. And if you were Lennon Miller, would you, even if you were a Celtic supporter, would you want to go to Celtic Park, then getting loaned out for a season to come back and maybe still know playing in the team? And I don't think it would be, well, in Celtic's best interest to bring in Lennon Miller, although Lennon Miller has, at this moment in time, he's got the world at his feet, potentially, and I just don't think at this time it would be in his best interest to come to Celtic.
In terms of would it be in Celtic's interest, I mean, they clearly want him. There's absolutely no secret about that, and have tried and presumably will try again, or are reported to try again. So I think one thing's for sure we'll not be inside his head or anyone associated with him's head, but they'll think very carefully about it, as we've spoken about earlier. Multiple chances at various times to go elsewhere, but taking the decision to just stay at Motherwell and play 60, 70, whatever it is now, games. So the same thought process will be applied the next time, whether it's Celtic or anywhere else.
100%. The boy knows where he's gone with his career, and rightly so. He's got good people around about him. He's a terrific talent. Look, you look at Luke McCown going from Dundee to Celtic, and you're not telling me he's not a better player now. Lennon Miller goes into Celtic and plays with the guys in the midfield, which he's capable of doing, no problem whatsoever, right? I think he would just blossom into getting better and better and better. And he's going to do that no matter where he goes, because he's got such a talent. I think the boy will look at what's best for him. Now, I think a lot of young players now with ability are starting to look at other players, what they're doing, going abroad, going to Italy and places like that, learning a different style of football under new coaches, new language, everything.
What was the rumour today? Lyon, did I see? Was that the latest that seemed to be linked on social media?
Yeah, and you're not surprised with that, Gordon. And if you're a player nowadays, the days of, and Ross touched on it earlier, when Celtic or Rangers came calling for you, you ran down the motorway to go there, right? That's the only clubs. Mm-hmm. If you're a Celtic supporter, you want to play Celtic Rangers, you were desperate. No problem. Wasn't about money. And guys that are legends of the club will tell you, when they went in the door at first, they just wanted to play for a club. They wanted to play for that jersey. That's all gone now. It's all about planning out where your career's going to go. And I think Lennon Miller, don't know if he will end up at Celtic, but I would not be surprised, one, if he stays in our season at Motherwell, or secondly, he decides to go abroad and learn a different style of football.
I suppose everybody's different. Everybody's got a different personality, Ross, so it's difficult to ask a general question, but you guys, you footballers, do you generally back yourself anyway? You know, that where you'd say, well, I could go in there and get into that team anyway. I don't care who's all there. I think I could go in and do it.
That comes from probably experience. I don't think Lennon Miller will be going anywhere to be seen as a future project. Lennon Miller, for me, if he goes to Celtic to play, I wouldn't be surprised. If he did go to Celtic this summer, I wouldn't be surprised to see Celtic let someone like Hatate go. I don't think Ingles will go. They've paid a lot of money for him. Callum McGregor's a mainstay. You've got Bernardo and McCowan. McCowan's just came. He's good if you need to throw him in and get a tune out of him. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Lennon Miller go to Celtic in the summer. I think Brendan Rodgers as well, the way he thinks about football, the way he coaches, I think it'd be absolutely perfect for Lennon Miller.
Are we at that, whether it's about midfield or anywhere else, Barry, are we at that stage where Celtic are ticking along so well that unavoidable thing where somebody might come for one of your top players and the food chain goes on? Has that started to enter your mind?
Well, I find myself agreeing with Ross there about if Hatate goes. There's speculation with a few players like Alistair Johnson and Nicholas Good, but the one I worry about being moved on from Celtic is Deizan Maeda. I mean, he's a world-class athlete, and a few of the big teams are already looking at him. That's the speculation, rumours, if you want to call it. And, well, bringing it back to Lennon Miller and the other players, Alistair Johnson, a good right-back, solid right-back. There's speculation about down south. Not the quality of the top echelon teams down there in England, but I think it's going to be a hotbed of traffic in the summer at Celtic, ins and outs. Lennon Miller, if Hatate was to go, then I think Lennon Miller would be a good buy. Maybe seen as a project player. I don't see him as a project player because he's captained Motherwell. He's a good young talent. But, I mean, if he was to come, if Hatate wasn't sold, I just don't know if he would get much
the
opportunity.
Space in the squad. What about that name that Barry says worries him a bit? Because Deizan Maeda, he's not a secret anymore, is he? I don't know if he ever was nowadays when everybody's aware of everything and stats and analysis and so on. But you know what was the story? Was it Cameron Carter-Vickers said in an Bayern interview Munich. That Eric Dier told him that all the Bayern Munich players were saying, who is this guy? You know, he's gone and scored goals in the Champions League, doing it at that level. He's also having by a mile his best season here. You look at his goal at the weekend. People are now thinking that, you know, the touch and stuff, that's just bits of his game that weren't there previously. So he's not that young, but is he still
Oh yeah,
could attract
big time. And what makes him even better is you can look at him as a manager and think, I can play him in the wide areas, I can play him through the middle. So you've got a player that probably could play right across that front line if you were playing a front three, and he wouldn't look out of place. Me personally, I think he's a far better centre forward than he is a winger. Although that there's an argument to say, well, look at the success he's had from the wide areas, just through the middle. I just think he puts a fiery death into defenders and goalkeepers.
He is only 27, by the way, but you know what I mean? Nowadays, it's like considered that the kind of the ones that get the big long contracts are the early 20s.
He'll still be doing the yardage when he's about 57.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's another thing. That's the next task for him, right? Okay, we're impressed with your running, that's fine. Nice. Can you play till you're 60?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, keep an eye on him. I can see that. Anyway, thank you very much to Barry. It's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I really liked the... Genuinely, because we always just try and do it, just a bit of insight. When Amit came on to give us the Fenerbahce side of things, someone's commented saying that was just Andy Halliday putting on a voice.
Well, Andy would know.
He's done everything else this weekend, so it wouldn't be put it past him. Anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick are here. It's 01419511025. Ross McCormick has been for his pre-Beat the Pundit toilet break, and he's revealed to us it's because he gets nervous. He genuinely gets that nervous for Beat the Pundit that he has to go and visit the wee boys' room.
The sweaty palms, got to go and dry the palms.
Honestly.
Anyway, the paper he took.
We're here for another hour or so keep the calls coming. We have been looking ahead to Rangers Fenerbahce, and it's part of a wider picture, really, about where Rangers are at and their form, and can they keep doing this? Because everyone always says that Thursday nights are different, Europe's different, and it has been for many years on the back of Queen's Park, St Mirren, Motherwell, that sort of thing. Can that still be the case? Well, I'm quite surprised, maybe, you're waiting for all the ink to be dried, but we've not really had any talk on that news yesterday about the takeover being agreed in principle. So give us your thoughts there. We had a Celtic fan on before the break talking about potential incomings, talking about being worried that Daizen Maeda could be poached away given how good he's been. So if you want to elaborate on any of that, please do, and anything else that you think we've not brought up, again, please do, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Paul is in Cheltenham. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Not bad. I'm not going to lie, Paul. We need a victory for the listeners. That's seven in a row without a win. Can you be the man to change it?
I'm not sure, because I normally pause it and get the answers. So,
well, take your time, Paul. We're here as a dazzle. This could be a good game, game tonight.
So, Paul, although I give 30 seconds to answer them, you give yourself 5 minutes.
Aye, that's right.
Yeah. I love that. I've never heard that before. We've done this show thousands of times. I've never heard anyone say that they just pause it to give themselves enough time.
I think you should do that tonight.
Brilliant.
Let them Google them.
That is superb. No, I'm happy
Paul
with that.
Paul will be good. I've got a funny feeling, Paul.
I'm happy
be
with
good.
It. Heads, it will be Ross, the bag of nerves. McCormick tails, it will be Gordon DL. Oh, I'm afraid, Ross, the trip to the toilet was needed.
It's
a head.
Paul, stick on. You're over the hurdle there at Cheltenham.
Oh, I knew you were going to reference the fact that he was from Cheltenham.
Next Tuesday.
I could just sense it.
Is it next Tuesday, yeah?
I can just sense it.
Right,
is it?
Yeah.
Is it that time of year already?
Yeah, wow.
I need that signed ball to sell off for the races.
We'll get you one. You're playing Roscoe.
Good chance.
I don't know what odds we've got on a Ross McCormick victory. Anyway, give Ross something else to listen to. Paul, 30 seconds. You can't pause it this time. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Good man. Your 30 seconds goes on the clock and your time starts now. Who's Rangers' only Turkish player?
Redvan Yilmaz.
Celtic striker Johnny Kenny was on loan at which Irish side this season?
Linfield.
How many games are left before the split in the Premiership?
6.
Brian Graham was at which club before joining Partick Thistle?
Football Cup.
At what stadium would you find the famous five stand?
About Easter Road.
Who's currently top of the SWPL?
Glasgow City.
Okay, let's bring him back. Ross McCormick, are you ready?
Ah, you're scoochous, mate.
That's not what he wants to hear.
My favourite singer of all time. I wouldn't have minded a little bit more time.
Don't worry about
Hold on, I want to know who Ross McCormick's favourite singer of all time is.
Celine Dion.
Seriously? Yeah.
A bit of you.
I sang it in the Horseshoe Bar.
Did you?
Karaoke, yeah.
My Heart Will Go On.
No, what song? What was the name of that song again? I forget the name.
I
know the song,
much.
But I forget. Wait, no, wait. I know the words.
When do you sing the Horseshoe Bar and we'll tell you what the song is?
Celine Dion.
I give you a wee tune.
No,
I can't believe that.
Don't worry, Paul's still playing.
He paused. Don't hear Paul's only in question one. He's paused.
He knows the Horseshoe Bar.
So you go in there and sing Celine Dion?
I've done it once.
That's amazing. Was that your initiation song?
I got booed off.
Did you? Is that your initiation song when you move clubs?
I'm desperate to know what that song was.
Charlie Puth, I sang One Call Away.
Well, that's bold. So kind of modern, you've no chance you've heard of that.
Shocking.
No, I'm more interested what the... Who was it again?
Celine Dion.
What's the song?
I just said... What was he listening to?
All Coming Back to Me.
Where did he sing the Horseshoe? What's that song? God, it must be our most famous one.
Yeah, that's true. What did you do in the Horseshoe?
What do you mean, what did I do?
What song?
I don't know the name of the song, but I know all the words.
Think Twice. That
wasn't Think Twice. No, was it not? It's All Coming Back.
I'm Alive.
So no, but I love that one.
Someone's just shouting Celine Dion
songs.
That's a George
Bowie special.
Honestly, what's happened to this show? Right, let's go back. Ross McCormick's about to play. We've relaxed him now with a bit of Celine Dion.
You're scrumptious, mate.
Ready, Ross? 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who's Rangers' only Turkish player?
Pass.
Johnny Kenny from Celtic was on loan at which Irish side this season?
Shamrock Rovers.
How many games are left before the split in the Premiership?
4.
Brian Graham was at which club before joining Partick Thistle?
Ross County.
At what stadium would you find the famous five stand?
Rangers.
Who is currently who's currently top? Who's top of the SWPL?
Celtic.
What age is Lennon Miller?
18.
Who was the St Mirren captain when they won the 2013 League Cup?
Stephen Thompson.
Okay. That was a roller coaster, wasn't it?
The famous five Rangers.
Is it not?
It's a good answer.
Oh, I'll tell you what, you better pause. You better do Paul's tactics.
Oh, let's go through them. Let's find
your
out.
Your man's Turkish.
Paul, what's your feeling? Have you done enough?
No.
No. No.
I was pausing it too
much. He got through a lot. But he was paused. He paused the first two questions.
Oh, I got them all wrong.
Let's find out.
You done okay, but
I did worry for you, because getting question one wrong is never good. And I thought this was doable. You read Van Yilmaz. He's Rangers' only Turkish player. 1-0 to Paul. However, Johnny Kenny, Shamrock Rovers, equaliser, Ross McCormick. How many games left before the split? 4. Ross McCormick takes
I was
the
guess,
lead.
No.
Hi, it was. No, I seen you looking down at the
2-1. Brian Graham was at which club before joining Partick Thistle?
This could be the shout of the
Ross
day.
Ross County. Ross McCormick gets it again.
I think when we were speaking about when we played them in the Scottish Cup for Motherwell, I think he might have been playing.
There you go.
I wouldn't have got that.
However, the roller coaster goes again, because the famous five stand is not at Ibrox. It is Easter Road, and Paul got that right. So what is he, 1 behind you?
Yeah, 3-2.
Who's currently top of the SWPL? It is Glasgow City.
Yep.
And Paul got it.
Ooh.
Have you seen that table, by the way? That is
no.
as tight as can be.
I wouldn't
Glasgow
have got
City
that either. I'd have probably went Edinburgh. I always go Edinburgh City. Are they a team?
What?
That's Celtic, Rangers and Glasgow City in it. That's the three.
Except this season the Edinburgh clubs are motoring Hibs.
There you go then.
No, but you said Edinburgh City.
Aye, they're not an Edinburgh City teams, no.
The SWPL?
Aye.
No.
I always get that wrong then. I know.
What are you about?
I always go in. I always thought there was Glasgow City in Edinburgh City.
Oh my word.
Aberdeen.
So we're level. Yeah,
3-3.
We're level game. However, Paul paused. He was stuck on pause for too long. Lennon Miller is 18. Ross McCormick goes in front. You had the chance to add some gloss, but the St Mirren captain was actually
Jim Goodwin.
Jim Goodwin. You didn't even need it. You've won it. You've won. Look,
well,
Ross,
done,
the
mate.
Sigh of relief. Paul, I thought you did fine. You got some good questions. I think we'll just chalk it down to inexperience, and we'll give it another go sometime. How does that sound?
That's it, man. If Ross McCormack was nervous, then I was more nervous. So there you go.
Well, you hit it well. Can Rangers do it on Thursday or over the two legs? How are you feeling?
Doubtful. Hopeful, but I don't think so.
So why is the kind of European magic dust worn off, do you think, then?
I just think the change, to be honest. I was on Phil's side. I would have kept Phil Clement in charge for the remainder of the season. I know that we need bums on seats and stuff like that, but I would have kept him in charge for that duration till the Europa League claim was gone. So personally, I think we've passed that boat. So
I didn't hear so much support for Philippe Clement. It shows that they were out there. No. That is the second call tonight to say that they would have kept Philippe Clement. I suppose
I live in Cheltenham, so I'm well away from the Glasgow Fish
madness.
Bowl, so.
I suppose what you would say, though, Gordon, is if you've said you're going to keep him because of Europe, why then sack him for the next game?
I don't know. That's what surprised me. I think it was just going back to
If we hadn't heard from Patrick Stewart, if it's a blank slate, then fair enough. You can't lose to Queen's Park and lose to Motherwell and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But once you've said that you're keeping him because of that.
Yeah, his European campaign was good, right? But unfortunately, the domestic side wasn't. The Scottish Cup was a disaster. The fans would not have come back. See, if you look at Thursday night, if you're a Rangers fan, he's an experienced manager going up against one of the top coaches in the world, right? Who's won absolutely everything. Brilliant coach. You just wonder, Barry, not get that great an experience, is that going to be such a difference as well? Will that tell? Although people will be probably shouting, well, have a look at Clement's style of play and everything about it. Barry's more just now of trying to get a tune out of these players. And we noticed in the first 20 minutes at Rugby Park, that didn't happen. We noticed it Saturday against Motherwell. It didn't happen. Okay, there's a little bit better in the second half. So he's coming up against one of the best coaches in the world.
I know what it was. I've just figured it out. I'm thinking of the time frame. Jose Mourinho, when he was the Porto manager and won everything, he knew that you were coming, Ross, and he jumped ship before that.
Where did you go?
He scored against Porto just after Mourinho left.
Did you, mate?
Champions League.
Do you know anything about the careers of our pundits?
No, who did you score for?
Motherwell.
Who did you score for? You played with some big
clubs. Are you serious?
Rangers. Was it? I didn't know.
To send them through, wasn't it, to the
last 16?
Last 16 of the Champions League.
You scored that goal
and then I got punted on loan to Doncaster.
That's ridiculous.
Do you not know this stuff?
No, I don't know that.
Which of these other clubs do you think he scored in the Champions League?
Maybe Leeds, Big Ten club.
Yeah, but not when
Aston Villa, massive. Won the European Cup.
He only played for Villa just a few seasons ago.
Could have scored against Porto.
In the Championship. Yeah. Oh, this guy's gone. Anyway. Thank you to Paul. Funnily enough, we got the tabloids would bill it, the breaking of silence from Philippe Clement today. Did you notice that?
His
statement went out, said it's taken me a few days to fully process and accept the end of my time with this exceptional club. Talks about leaving with a heavy heart, frustrated and disappointment. Couldn't consistently bring the team to the level. Understand your frustrations. We worked passionately day and night. We had great moments, unwavering support. We were one big family. Always have a special place in my heart, etc. So the first time we've heard from him, but more of a formal written statement. Anyway, thank you to Paul, and a victory for Ross McCormack on Beat the Pundit. There we go. Just shows
smelling 0141 ridiculously bad as well.
951-1025. Let's go to Brian, who's on the line. How are you, Brian?
Not bad, Gordon. How are you?
Good. What made you call tonight, Brian? What have you got for us?
There was just a wee thought on the Lennon-Miller thing. I would probably tend to agree with the previous caller that was talking about it, that I think it's quite likely that Rio Hatate could be away in the summer. So that would be you down to Ingles, McCowan, Bernardo and McGregor. McGregor turns 32, I think, this summer. So I wouldn't imagine that he's got a hell of a lot of time left right at the top level. So I think there's more than enough room for somebody like Lennon Miller to be coming in and making his own way in the squad.
What makes you think Hatate will go, like, as in because he's good and he'll be poached away, or do you just think it's time? I'm really fascinated, Brian, with the way Celtic fans view Rio Hatate, because some love him, but then some don't quite get it for some reason. How do you feel about him?
I think Hatate can be fantastic on his day. He's not on his day quite often enough this season, I don't think. But I think, similar to the Kyogo situation, he doesn't get picked regularly for the Japan team. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was a motivation for him. And there has been, the last sort of 12, 18 months, just more often there seems to be chat about him maybe being away, because it's rare that you get players from foreign countries hanging about for more than 3 or 4 seasons these days in Scotland. And
yeah,
I think that's like 3 years he's been here now.
I thought we saw Gordon, you saw again even at the weekend what he was capable of, some of those balls for the goals. He still gets a lot of stick. Who am I to tell the Celtic fans how to feel? And maybe it's different when you've got that emotional tie and you're hanging on every move. I just feel like from a neutral perspective outside, he's excellent.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he gets criticism because he sets such high standards. You know, you're expecting so much of him. He's got it in his locker, of course he has. He showed that in the past. But if he's off it a little bit, then the fans seem to get a bit frustrated with him. I think Celtic in that position just now, and I think a caller said it earlier, as much they've been really successful, and have a look at them in Europe, and obviously they're going for a domestic treble as well. The league's already in the bag. They've got players there that Celtic fans must be really worried. Alistair Johnston would be a massive loss for me, right? I think he's a future captain at Celtic. You're looking at him, you're looking at Maeda, you're looking at Hatate. Kuhn's probably, people are looking at. They've got talented players that people are starting to sit up and notice. It could be a big close season for Celtic.
Do you agree with Brian that the time is here to start succession planning for Callum McGregor?
No, listen, I still think the way he looks after himself, the professional that he is, he's probably getting a 2-3 years anyway, I would say, at the level that he's at. But here's how I see it with the Lennon Miller one. I think if Celtic were to get Lennon Miller, they're obviously going to pay quite a fee for him. So he's going to be a starter. I look at Celtic's midfield now and I think, right, okay, if there's going to have to be one going out, who's it going to be? I think it's going to be someone that's probably starting most games. It's not going to be McGregor, club captain. Ingles have just paid £11 million for. I don't think they would get £11 million back now. The other one is Hatate, who could fetch a big, big fee. I think that makes way. And they've still got the options of a couple of injuries and stuff. You've got Bernardo and McCount to come in. I think realistically, that is the move that could happen. And also, I think with Celtic's model of maybe selling players high and stuff, that I think if they sold Hatate this summer and brought in Lennon Miller, that would probably put a stop to losing another couple, i.e. an Alistair Johnson, possibly a Maeda, a Kuhn, because they would get enough money for Hatate.
I think Hatate's the kind of top of the wanted list, Brian. I think your previous Celtic supporter who was on was a bit worried that the attention Dyson Maeda might be getting these days.
I don't think it would be the highest transfer fee if any Celtic players that were maybe to go in the summer, depending on who went. But I don't think there's any point in worrying about it. It's
just a compliment, isn't it, ultimately?
If somebody comes in and dangles £25 million in front of you and offers a player £100,000 a week, more than likely they're going to be away. That's just the way of the world these days.
Sure is. Thank you to Brian and Pollock on 01419511025. Now, you'll have heard last night, and we're going to do this all week, we're supporting working with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. We're giving away some tickets, we're throwing in some extras as well, and we're going to be joined by Roscoe McClelland, who's one of the comics appearing at the festival this year. He's going to come and sit here, and I'm looking forward to this, because all those rubbish jokes that Gordon DL tells, hope he just sits there with a straight face, just doesn't give them any
attention. My knock knocks.
Oh my
I've
word.
Got about four knock
please
knocks.
Don't, please don't. Please don't ask a professional comedian.
Listen,
a knock
they
knock
all
joke.
Love a knock knock.
They don't. They only. They genuinely don't.
They join in when you see
and
Roscoe.
What they really hate is people like pretending that they know how it, like telling them what to do or how it works.
I'm going to heckle them. And let's see what he's
from half a yard away.
I'm heckling
them. The old devil was it. Peter Kay, when the boy was shouting garlic bread, yeah, and he got lobbed out, and then he told the girl she looked like, who was it again? Lisa Riley or something. He said, you looked, and it all kicked off.
That's right.
Get him in here. We'll get him in and we'll take more of your calls after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Ross McCormick are here, 01419511025. And all this week, we're working with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival, building up to what should be a fantastic period here in the city. And I'm delighted to say we're joined in the studio by Roscoe McClelland, who will be, well, take it away. What are you going to be doing? When and where? And
well, I'll be doing my show that I done last year at the Edinburgh Fringe in Oranmore. And when is it, 30th of March?
Good venue.
So, that'll be good.
It's a good start.
Mm. It's nice. Do you know a fancy venue for me. But
one of your
nice.
One of your weddings across
I
the road
across
for that?
Across the road, mate, yeah. One that was a many. Joke as well, let me tell you. See, I should be with you as a double
oh,
action.
Stop it.
We can bounce off each other.
So what is the show? What's the gist?
Oh, God. Well, it's one of the, it's quite a sad. Usually I'm like, oh, let's have a wee laugh. But this one, it was a bit more personal. Oh, bit right. of light and shade thrown into okay. you know, a very fancy Edinburgh show.
So what's the, because what is the serious story that you've got to deliver?
Well, the serious story that I've got to deliver is that it's, I'm talking about, I've got a thing called prolonged QT syndrome. It's what's his name? Fabrice Muamba.
Ah,
he
right,
had
okay.
it as well. So basically, if I push myself at my limits, there's a chance my heart just goes off and on again, and I go.
He's right. This is not funny, is it?
No, it's well. It will be funny. Don't worry about that. Now there's good bits in it, but that's kind of woven
like
through
that.
It. And, that's why I had to stop playing football when I was a young boy.
You could have made it.
I could have made it.
You're
if
that
it was
guy
for that, it me being no very good at
oh,
it.
I was worried what word he was going to.
No, yeah.
don't worry. Going to choose
self-editing.
Have you ever had any brushes with the football world? Any football related gigs that have gone a bit, have gone well or gone south? Because they can be a tough audience.
Well, this was it was a few months back, I think it was last year. I'd done a gig down in Greenock for Greenock Juniors, and it was all ages of the team, and I knew I could sense a death coming. And I don't die a lot, but I could sense it. And I put on my nice wee brown suit, and I went down and had 20 minutes of just nothing. Nothing.
Just
people,
silence.
People actively hating me. I could see it in their faces. And I left, and I was like, that was a tough one.
What cheered you up? The envelope on the way up the road?
Well, here's the thing. The next day, I went to, it was the Rangers, the cup final against Celtic. We lost 1-0 right at the end. And I was walking out that game just going, oh, could this weekend get any worse? And I heard a guy going, oh, mate. And you know how you just go, I think this is for me. And I turned around and he was like, you that comedian that was on last name, like, can you leave me alone, mate? Do you think I'm like, top to you right now?
So you've just outed it. That's, you're a Rangers fan. You're open about that. You're not one of these Glasgow performers who feels they have to try and keep everybody happy.
No. But I mean, I think I'm a rare breed that I'm there's a lot of Celtic comedian fans out there. And I think I'm one of the only ones that's willing to go, well, I'm a Rangers fan. I don't care if I'm not very good. I'm just going to.
Who are the Celtic fans on the.
Oh.
There are a few, actually.
Well, there's a million. Larry Dean, Susie McCabe
yep.
Frankie Boyle, Bridges, you know, you name it. They're all there.
That is a good point. he's trying to balance it up. Yeah. How are you? How are things as a Rangers fan currently?
Do you know what? It's fine.
Is it?
Yes, it's no. But I mean, there's hope, and there's hope with this the takeover thing coming in, and now we've got a very staunch managerial group in there. There's a wee bit of hope, and maybe we'll have some money at the end of the season. And you know,
well, you look like the right age to have sort of worshipped, idolised Barry Ferguson. How have you felt about the way that's gone?
That's it. I'm one of the lucky ones, I guess, because I look at my nephews and stuff like that and I go, you've never seen us being good, really. But I've seen, you know, all the great teams, you know, the nine in a row and stuff like that from my era. So just, you know, well, things change and they'll change again. This is what will happen.
Do you know, it's funny, I didn't think that a comedian coming in would be a serious bridge into talking about the takeover, because yesterday there was news breaking that it's been agreed in principle, both parties feel confident that it can be done in time for next season. I said I was expecting maybe a bit more in terms of calls on it. I think it got a bit lost yesterday because it was all about the rage from, you know, the Motherwell performance and so on, and which is fine. I'm trying to think, you must be the perfect guy. You played for Rangers, you played for Leeds, you could be the new club mascot. if this takeover happens.
Why not?
You get the face for it.
I'm open to it. Like you on the radio.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
You still go down to Leeds though, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, the top of the championship, right? So that is, in the broadest sense, heading in the right direction, I guess. What anything else kind of behind the scenes, or what impact have 49ers Enterprises had on the club?
Well, listen, what I will say is Rangers fans who think that the 49ers Enterprise are going to come in and splash the cash right away, you know, endless war chest, if you want to call
it. Really,
it's not going to happen. Yeah. They didn't do it at Leeds. They won't be doing it here. Everything they do is very calculated. What I like about them is, and it probably goes against the grain a little bit up here in terms of if Celtic or Rangers are looking at a player and they want a player, everyone knows about it. It's out in the public domain. Leeds, since they've came in, 99% of the players that they've signed, the fans had no clue that they were going to get signed. It was all done very quietly. And I said at the time, when this get released that they were looking at Rangers, I thought, well, that must be very, very close, because they wouldn't have let it out the bag until it was more or less done.
I've heard that. I've obviously been reading a lot and listening to the Leeds side of things and saying that they do kind of keep
cars close to
and
chest,
heads down sort of thing. It's so early, but I mean, overall, you see it looking at Leeds' experience and where Rangers are currently, because that's probably the crucial bit. You don't see anything other than this being a sort of positive.
No, this for me is paramount. This is more important than who they get in as a manager between now and the end of the season. That's just a little sort of caretaker spell. This takeover is what helps Rangers get them back to where they probably were a few years ago, where most Rangers fans probably believe that they deserve to be. This is the only way that they get close to Celtic. I think if this doesn't happen, then you can forget about the league again for the next couple of years and getting close to Celtic and that. This is the only way that they get close to
Celtic. Is it a popular regime amongst the fans? They pretty happy with the ownership?
They love them, yeah, everything. Now, it's just been announced as well that they're expanding the stadium, I think, from 38 to 53,000. They put their money where their mouth is, but they do it in a way which is, as I said, it's calculated. It's not just go in and throw money at things for the sake of it. It's a very, very well-oiled machine now, Leeds United.
I think the reaction yesterday, Gordon, said a lot. The Rangers fans are so excited about this, and obviously opposition fans or people on the outside will say that what Ross says, you know, it doesn't mean that things change overnight. It doesn't mean you go and get billions to spend. There are no guarantees. It doesn't mean it's all plain sailing. But, and Roscoe can tell us, Rangers fans aren't just in a place right now where they just feel that anything must be better. So, you know, any sort of step in the right direction.
Yeah, light at the end of the tunnel for them, Gordon, because I think Ross touches it on there. If it goes the same way, it's just got to be the same season next season. It's going to be Rangers fans switching off, not enjoying their football, not enjoying their club. People try to put money in it, keep it out, keep it going. Look, I think it's a must for Rangers. It really is. I know what Ross is saying about how they've developed Leeds and how they've went about it, but they've come in there. Rangers need a freshness. They need something, you know, for the fans to get hope for. They're watching this season and now they could be probably looking over their shoulder shortly watching Celtic win our domestic treble, which, you know what like it is in this city if you're a Rangers fan. Nothing worse. But going forward, if they got that, they would bite your hand off for it, Rangers. Now, I know there's a lot of people thinking, well, you've got to be careful what you wish for. Rangers are in a position, they need this. They really need this, Gordon.
Is that why, as a Rangers fan, Roscoe, it's just exciting? Is that all it is? Just hoping that this is a, as Gordon put it, light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, that's it. I mean, I was saying, they asked me when I came in, they're like, are you aware of the show? And I was like, I do. I watch the show and I watch it on YouTube and I listen to it and stuff like that. But I tend not to watch it when things are bad with Rangers. So it has been a while. It's been a tough time, you know. Maybe after the Old Firm game, I was like, get this show on. But other than that, it's been hard. So it'll just be great to, you know, be back as a regular listener again.
Yeah, we did notice that when you walked in and went, who are you three?
Again, to the other Roscoe, what are the chances?
Two Roscoes.
To Ross McCormick, I take it there's a belief that Leeds are now top of the table on the English Championship. They'll go up. Is there a confidence there? Because there are a few potential complications. I don't think anyone's really thinking that it would, you know, be the end of the road, but the EFL, their rules are a bit stricter on this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, technically, as things stand right now, the takeover would be blocked by EFL rules. But there are a few ways of looking at it. Firstly, if Leeds go up, not as much of a problem, because the English Premier League rules are more relaxed. Secondly, I think the EFL clubs are going to meet in the summer anyway and potentially ditch this, because there's football's moving in that direction now, isn't it? And then thirdly, we don't even really know the exact makeup of the Rangers consortium and who would have what shares and whatever. But is there the easiest way to sort of fix it right now would be if Leeds stay, and you think they will?
I said it weeks and weeks ago. They'll run away with that league now. They will. They are head and shoulders above. I'll actually say it. I've probably not said it on air or on camera or whatever. That's the championship this year is the worst championship that I've seen, probably since I moved down there in 2000 and maybe 2010 or something. Last year, everyone thought the championship was amazing, but it wasn't. They had four good teams. You had Ipswich, Leicester, Leeds and Southampton. Four good teams, the rest of them were poor. This year, for me, you've got Sheffield United, who are decent, and Leeds are head and shoulders above them. The rest are much of a muchness. Leeds will run away now with that league. I'm positive about it.
Yeah, I think, Gordon, maybe even yesterday was just a bit of clarity of a kind of tangible time frame for Rangers fans to hang on to. This story broke yesterday that they both parties feel confident that it can be done in time for next season.
Yeah, and it's a welcome bit of news, especially after the weekend that Rangers suffered. I think everybody agrees. If you're a Rangers fan just now, you're watching Celtic just going away, you know, further and further and further away. You know, the team that they've got, the squad, the money they can go out and buy, players at 11 million, their European campaign as well. Everything's going brilliant for them. You see they've got a top, top manager in place as well. Clubs run brilliantly. So Celtic fans are enjoying it. Rangers fans want a piece of this. And the only way they can get a piece of this is new investors come in and taking the club in the right direction. And we keep going back to that word. A bit of freshness for Rangers supporters.
Does football ever make it into your material? Is it an easy go-to or one you stay away from?
It's hard. I did hear one. Oh no, I can't say that. It was a thing overheard.
Ask us during the break.
It was a thing overheard. In, I was in Belfast doing a couple of gigs and I heard a guy and he was talking about, you know, well, I believe... I think I can skirt my way around this. I heard a couple of guys talking about how he was his views on immigration into the country.
You're right, I'm worried, but carry on.
Yeah, I won't mention his actual viewpoint, but him and his pal were chatting about it, and then the other one was like, I agree with you there. It's terrible. And then he was like, so how are you getting in the Rangers game tomorrow? He's like, I'm getting the ferry. Actually... That doesn't work without the setup of what his thing was. I just realised that.
No. But do you know what? I think it's best.
I think you get the general gist of what he wanted to stop.
I think it's best left like that because I've figured it out. I know what the middle bit is.
Yeah.
About the mode of transport.
It's a sort of build your own joke.
I think we're fine. I think we get that. Do you know what? I think it must have been this time last year we had Mark Nelson.
Aye.
And were you on that night?
No, I wasn't on, no.
And then I randomly met him in a water park in Portugal in the summer. You know what I mean? I'm just sitting there thinking,
is that a comedian
we had on Super Scoreboard? Both just plodding about with the shorts on. Anyway, there's nothing more really attached to that story. That was just my link to the comedy world from Super Scoreboard. Do you want to hear one of arguably the worst joke of all time?
Knock, knock.
No, because
he's been desperate to tell a knock-knock joke.
You must tell knock-knock jokes.
I've got one that's it's a street joke, but it's an absolute screamer. It's my favourite joke. It's like, oh, did you hear the one about the fish that get... Or did you hear what the fish said when he got ran over by the local Glasgow bus company? He said, oh, my gills.
Oh, my word. On that note, let's give some tickets away, shall we?
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Yes, all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, hence Roscoe's appearance, we are working with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. Clyde One's an official partner. We've got tickets to give away, and not just that as well, we've got a meal as well. So tonight, two tickets to see Roscoe McClelland at Oran Mór on the 30th of March, and a three-course meal with a bottle of wine at the Drake. That's a proper night out, that, seriously. Wined and dined and entertained. You happy with that?
I hope it's not on my dime.
No, I don't think so. I think we're covered. So to see Roscoe, all you have to do is give us the punchline.
Knock knock.
To this joke, which is going to be set up by an actual professional comedian, which I feel really bad about. Go on then, give us it.
Well, I've already fluffed two of my jokes tonight, so here's a punchline, here's the setup. Why are footballers like babies?
Why are footballers like babies? Call us right now, 01419511025. If you can provide the punchline to that really well thought out joke, you will win the tickets and the meal. Call us now, lines close at the end of this break.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick are here. We are still taking your calls if you want to squeeze one in. We've got Airdrie against Falkirk about to kick off in the Championship as well. And as if that's not enough, we're joined by Roscoe McClelland, a comedian who's ready to take part in the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. We're working with them all week as part of Clyde One's official partnership. And tonight we're giving you two tickets to see Roscoe at Oran Mór on the 30th of March with a three-course meal and a bottle of wine at the Drake, which is a lovely place as well. So it's a proper night out on us. That's a Sunday night as well. That's right up your street.
Yeah, I'm going. Yeah.
All right. On your own. Is that allowed? Do you get any like solo men in their 60s coming to the show? Is that all right?
Do you know, there was a weird thing where I do a show on Twitch. I don't know if you know Twitch, mm-hmm. where people like do gaming and all that. I do a show every night where I would just chat away. And then, do you remember there was like a fringe after the COVID thing had just went away? And they were like, we're going to do like kind of a single seat row. And I remember when the tickets went on sale, that went like that. And I was like, oh, brilliant, this thing's going to sell, no bother. And then it slowed down and I realised that I was just selling tickets to people who didn't have any pals and watch people on the internet. And I was like, oh no.
So they're just there on their own.
Oh no.
I don't know, what are you looking at me for?
That's
here?
You at the back. That is you all day long.
I'll find somebody to come along.
Oh, I'll bet you will. That I don't doubt. Anyway, right. So all you have to do to go and see Roscoe was give us the punchline to this incredible joke as set up by the man himself. So what was it again? Give us it one more time.
It was why are footballers like babies?
Sensational, right. Let's go to the phones and see what we've got. You had the last couple of minutes to call. Don't knock it. You want to see how busy these phone lines are? Look at that. That means extremely busy, basically.
That's good. Good for
them. Alan is in Bonnybridge. How are you, Alan?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Gordon. Yourself?
All good, Alan. Right, the pressure's on. We've got an actual professional with us tonight. Why are footballers like babies?
Because they're good at dribbling.
Happy with that? Yeah, we'll accept that.
It's absolutely nailed it.
Are you kidding me on, Ross McCormick?
What did he say? Is it?
Like, did you not know the punchline to that joke?
Doesn't say the answer on the sheet.
Aye, but it was pretty obvious.
What did you think it was?
I don't know. Something David Messi.
Well, that was last night. Oh my. Look at that. He's genuinely tickled by that joke. I love that.
I liked it.
Superb. Alan, you are correct. Well done. You're going to see Roscoe. Two tickets, 30th of March, Oran Mór. Three course meal, bottle of wine at the Drake as well. Are you happy with that?
I will, please.
Good.
First thing. Winning in the show, so it was good work,
yeah. Listen, then you've won a wee prize as well. That's a good night out, that, isn't it? Who are you going to take with you?
The wife.
Exactly, the wife. That makes perfect sense. And you, Roscoe, you're confident. You're happy with the show. You're going to deliver.
Oh, it's going to be great. I already know it's good. People have said it was, and I'm like, well, job done. That was it.
He's modest as
I'll
well.
I'll be by confidence, as boy.
I don't mind.
I'm going along to heckle.
And hold on a
I'm
minute.
Going to be a heckler.
If there is one man on this earth,
hey, you,
that cannot knock people for being overly confident, it is you.
What's that? Heckling?
No, I'm saying if there's one person that shouldn't knock someone's confidence, it's you. Honestly. Anyway, thank you very much to Alan, who's going to head along to Oran Mór on the 30th and enjoy his evening, no doubt. So well done to Alan and Bonnybridge. And thank you so much to everyone else who's still calling in the nicest way possible. You can stop now. And we'll do it again tomorrow night. So thank you very much. I love Ross McCormick.
He'll be tuning in tomorrow night.
I don't know the answer to that.
Last night it was that. Was why is the best footballer in the world? Why did he have to tidy his room or something?
Because he was messy.
I was going to say they'll get better, but
they won't.
No, I actually can't. I can't promise that. No, I can't promise it. How what's the, is there any notable difference? Have you done the Glasgow Comedy Festival before?
I've done it before, aye.
Is there any notable difference from, you know, that versus the Fringe versus other types of...
I mean, there's a bit less, there's definitely less staying at till 4 or 5 in the morning during the Glasgow Festival. But, do you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I've been 10 years now. It's all the same thing, just in a different
place. Where are you from?
From Blantyre.
All right, okay.
Hi Blantyre.
Aye.
See, I know the Blantyre.
Lowitshire boys in here.
I know highs and lows.
You just know Asda.
I've had a few highs and lows in Blantyre.
Don't want to know. Right, well, let's squeeze a call in. Let's do some more football before the end. Andy's on. How are you, Andy?
How are you doing, guys? All right.
Good. How are you? What have you got for us?
I'm just thinking about Thursday night's game. I'm hoping that Suter and Balogun are back, hopefully. I mean, we're really missing them in defence, you know what I mean? Because... And I was saying to the producer, Barry, you know, he said he wants to change things, the way we play, but hopefully in Europe, it doesn't have to, because we're a different team in Europe. Mm-hmm. We're a totally different team. We don't need to change things.
Now, do you know what's funny? We kind of started the show with that question, so let's end it. You still believe that, Andy? You know, you don't think that some of the performances recently make any difference. You still think this European turnaround will be there like it so often has been?
Well, I definitely think so. I mean, I said I thought they might have kept coming on till see what happened in Europe, but no, I wouldn't change anything, because in Europe we're just totally different. I mean, I know we've been really, really bad the last 3 games, but no, I've got high hopes that we can do something across here.
You still feel that way, Roscoe, as a Rangers fan, that just whatever it is, for whatever reason, which we've gone round the houses on a million times, that it'll be okay in Europe? You're still managing to feel that way?
I think this will be a different sort of European game. This is a Mourinho team, and I think they will batter us. And we're a small side, I think, you know, especially against Motherwell, it showed, and even Kilmarnock at the back line, where we're getting smashed, we're getting bullied. So I think he's right. If Suter and/or Balogun is back, we've got a bit more of a chance. But I think a Mourinho side will just absolutely hammer throw us.
You're going up against a team that at home in the last 4 games has scored about 14, 15 goals. Right, so it shows you they're very much on the front foot. If Rangers have got Achilles heel just now, it is at the back. Kilmarnock, 2 goals. Motherwell, 2 goals. Queen's Park score against them at Ibrox. So I agree. I think that if you're a Rangers fan, you're hoping that your defensive pair's back.
Well, that's was the core of Andy's point, wasn't it? You look at the team at the weekend. Leon Balogun, well, he came on, didn't he? He was one of the three that came on at the break. Aye. So he certainly should be fit unless there's some sort of issue. I think last update we got, yeah, Barry Ferguson said, didn't he, that John Suter would be involved. You see him going straight back in?
I would. I think it's such a big, important game, because this tie could be away from you over there. If you go over there and you have a Kilmarnock, for instance, you're 2-0 down, Mourinho ain't going to lose that, right? You could be out the tie before you even come back to Glasgow. So I think you've got to take the chance. If Suter and Balogun's fit, I think you've got to play them.
And with maybe we're in danger of overdoing this stuff and constantly comparing, but is there a case to say that Barry Ferguson's more likely to pitch John Suter straight back in than Philippe Clement would be? Because that was such an ongoing discussion, that wasn't it, about sports science and bedding players in and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, Roscoe's laughing, he knows as well. For sure, I think if it's a no-brainer, if the two of them are available to be in the squad, both of them start. I've got to start, can't go with Popper, and obviously Inciala's out of favour as well. Two of them come straight back in, and I might add, they do make a massive difference, but I don't really share the same thoughts as a lot of people. I think that this reminds me a little bit of Celtic's tie against Bayern Munich, in the sense that it all hinges on the first leg. If Rangers can still be in the tie, going back to Ibrox, I'll tell you right now, I don't care if Mourinho's the manager or who's the manager, that is a difficult, difficult night for Fenerbahce.
I think what's been difficult, Gordon, if you look at the back line, is there have been maybe kind of like false dawns. So Tavernier played centre-back in the entire second half at Old Trafford? Mm-hmm. I think it was, you know, and got kind of rave reviews for it. And then went in recently, and then people thought Yilmaz could be a right-back, and then that idea stopped working, and then it happened again at Rugby Park. And even if you look at the USG game, which saw Rangers get their high placing in the Europa League, I think Leon King played that night, didn't he?
He played right back and came off early.
and Proper did play despite some of the criticism. So maybe you just don't know what to expect.
No,
when,
because
when Europe comes around.
See,
for
Proper, I think Scottish football is too quick and too strong for him physically. I think when he goes into Europe campaign, he's been okay and he's been involved in the big results. It'll be an interesting lineup.
As you can hear, we're out of time. That was a quick end to the show. Falkirk have taken the lead against Airdrie, an own goal. By the looks of things, the Falkirk player doesn't quite know how to celebrate it. It's always awkward that when it clearly isn't you that scores. Well, he's giving it big licks, even though it was an own goal. But it is 1-0 to Falkirk. Thank you very much to Roscoe for joining us. We wish you well in the Comedy Festival.
Thanks for having us.
Gordon DL is going to come along.
I'm coming.
He'll see you there.
He'll give us the match report. Thanks to everyone who called and tweeted, and of course to the many of you who just listened quietly as well. We are back tomorrow. We'll properly ramp up the build up to that Fenerbahce Rangers game as well. And this is Scottish football, so there'll be something else on the cards tomorrow. Make sure you join us, and in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.